turn to the book of Job. What is pain? The topic for today is pain and suffering. I'm sure a lot of you are interested in this topic. And can you turn on the PowerPoint? PowerPoint. What is pain? Thank you. Well, if you look at the website, this is the answer from one of the answers. Pain is unpleasant sensory. So about tissues. Oh, I never thought about that. And describe in terms of such damage. So if you look at it, this is what is pain. Very abstract, but you can feel it. And also, people divide up pain into different categories, try to handle them properly or whatever. But this is what we always experience, pain. And you heard a lot about pain, and a lot of people take painkillers just to make them feel normal. So pain is part of real life. And we all know that, I mentioned that before, the ability to feel pain is to protect us, is a mechanism to protect us from further damage or injury from different situations. So it's for our survival, it's a good thing. But unfortunately, we all know that a lot of time pain lingers for a long time. And you expressed the idea that we are not properly healed physically, a lot of time emotionally. That's why we still feel the pain. And a lot of us have to take painkillers just to make sure we can operate, we can do things in a daily basis. So pain is part of life, and a lot of time we do not understand why we still suffer in pains. Even though the situation is already gone, the storm is already passed, the tree fell on your house, it's already removed, the house was built, but you still feel a lot of pain. And today we're going to look at this topic, pain and suffering. And one of the best books to look at is, of course, the book of Job, and chapter 23. And actually, if you look at chapter 22, later on we will see how this come into about as we look at this topic. Well, if you look at it, today I'm going to have 3 points to share with you. My prayer, when I meditate on this topic, the reason I brought this up, my prayer is that knowing a little bit more of the reality of pain, evil, and suffering, I hope would give us a better perspective into this mystery. A lot of people define problem seeks answer. Well, most of you are students, so you know problem seek answer, but mystery demands more. They merit explanation. Getting to Mars is a problem, is an illustration. Falling in love is a mystery. Evil suffering, like love, is not a problem. It is a mystery. That means there's no one straightforward answer that can answer this deep-rooted problem in our hearts, in our soul, in our spirit, pain and suffering. But today we just want to know a little bit more. Hopefully we'll be able to understand more and we will be able to handle this pain and suffering better. The first point I want to share with you is the causes of suffering. If you look at it, think about it, I'm sure you can just come to very basic two categories of the causes of suffering. The one is the natural disasters, and the other one, of course, are man-made disasters. For many centuries, we wonder why there are so many natural disasters happening. If you look at the list, I'll just show you some of them. The Mother Nature at work. So you will see fire, you know, grass fire, forest fire, and all these lightning, you know, killing people, and then the thunder comes after, and storms, all kinds of different type of storms, and there's earthquake, volcano eruption, flooding, all these things, and a lot of time we try to understand why all this are happening. And today, if you look at some books or go to the website, you will find all the explanation why these are happening in such a good way. Because all these things are the Mother Nature at work. Science tells us that all these natural phenomena are necessary to revitalize the balance in the natural environment. They all are needed. Just like a cat, after finish, well, some of you have cats, you know that too. You know, after the year, they will clean themselves up. All these things. Animal knows how to take care of themselves. And the earth also knows how to take care of itself. But basically, all these things happening in our nature is to keep our land, our soils, fertile, so that animals, as well as plants, will be able to continue to grow all these things. So you can look it up, and all those are good reasons. Now we know that all these things are happening today. The only thing is that when all these things are happening, a lot of the time human beings were on the way, were on their ways, and many were dead or injury, poverty lost, and we feel a lot of pains because of that. And another cause of suffering is man-made. Of course, you know that, other than the natures. Nowadays, we destroy the nature. We suffer the effects of it, global warming, all these things. And of course, in a smaller scale, so you see people killing each other, murders, and it directly affects peoples and families. And wars bring in massive destruction of life, and all these are man-made sufferings. And we all get older, and we realize that all this happening is part of life. We all say that this is part of life. Nothing we can do about it, especially the nature. We can try to avoid them as much as possible, or to learn how to survive when they come. But for man-made disasters, you know, we move to a safer country like Canada, so that's why a lot of our parents, and being me, I mean, a student, and I also chose to come to Canada, because a lot of people choose Canada because it's a safer place to live. And we will move to a safer communities even. When Toronto becomes a so-called violent cities, we move away from Toronto. We try to find a place that we will call it safer, so that all these man-made possible disasters will not fall into you or your loved ones. Now you know what I'm leading into. You watch TV, you open up your computer, you see a lot of bad things happening around the world. Today, there's a war in Syria. It's been fighting for more than a year. Hurricanes, Isaac just, came last Wednesday, 7 years exactly, the date, from Katrina, 7 years ago, and destroyed New Orleans. And today, they were suffering to almost the same scale. And we all feel bad about this. When we turn on the TV, we look at it, and but at the same time, deep down in your heart, when you're looking at those pictures, deep down in your heart, you feel blessed because you are here. Nothing is happening to you and to me, and we feel good about this. And at the same time, as long as everything is fine in my world, I'm okay. But wait until someday disasters knock on your door, then everything will turn upside down. Well, if you look at these reasons, the natures and scientists tell us now we find a justifiable cause of all these things. And for human natures, the human-made disasters, we also find justifiable cause because we are so evil, human beings are so wicked. The wickedness of human beings cause all these problems, greed, hate, murder, war, greed, authority, power, land, all these things tells us that somehow we find a justification. If you look at the murder, you know, why this guy murders so many people? And then people will try to find out his background, all these things, try to find a justification for doing all these things. But at the end, brothers and sisters, you know really well that those so-called reasons cannot make you feel any better. Right? Even though you're trying to understand the situations, understand why this particular individual have committed these kind of sins or this kind of wickedness, it does not make you feel any better when these things happen, especially to you or to your loved ones. Even people who does not believe in God, just like you and me, we will still ask why. We will still look up into heaven and ask why. Why would we do that? Why would we ask why? Again, if you look at watch documentaries or reading books or websites, you all know that advanced animals would mourn for their loss, like elephants. When one of them die, they will linger around the bodies for a period of time. They mourn for the bodies, not for the body, they mourn for the lost ones. But only human beings will ask why. Not only we mourn for the lost, we will want to know why these things are happening. Animals, like I said, more advanced animals will do that. They will mourn for the lost, but only human beings. Not only we mourn for the lost, we want to know why. And this is reality. And I think there's another reason why we have suffered so much pain. That is my second point. This into the second point, human intrinsic moral codes. Why do we suffer so much in pain when, and I said, the cause is already way over? The storm will come and we'll be gone. But why do we still feel a lot of pain? Even though the cause of the pain is already gone. I think because we are not completely at peace in our hearts. A sense of peace never comes your way, and you simply cannot move on with your life because there's a reason. I believe that's one of the reasons why we still suffer pain. It's because we have an internal conflict that things do not make sense. When things do not make sense, when we do not find the answer, as we ask why all these things happening to my loved one or to myself, this internal conflict itself causes a lot of pain. I'll tell you a story. A father, he was still not sure why did his son die in an airplane accident a couple of years ago. He could not find peace because he was not sure if he was the cause of this punishment from God. Listen carefully. Because he was not sure if he was the cause of this punishment from God. Secretly, he knew he had sinned against God by taking up a habit of drinking. Whenever he was tired, frustrated from work, he would have few drinks before he head home. As a Christian, he knew it was not right. One morning, that was the morning that he dropped off his son at the airport, he left work with anger and decided to stop by his favorite bar. On his way to the bar, he knew that a few times God spoke to him and told him to stop, depending on the alcohol, for relief. Yet this father refused to listen. He actually said, "What will you do? Are you going to kill my son?" He came home and his wife told him that there was a plane crash in the news. Well, our reaction is, "Really?" So his reaction was, "Really?" Just before dinner, the police contacted them and told them the news. His son died in that plane crash. His father, in the next 2 years, was wondering if he actually was the cause of judgment of God upon his son. He could never find peace because there was no answer to his search of the cause. He could not find peace. And he still think, and he was wondering, why did God allow this to happen? This story actually tells us two fundamental questions to think about. Is God the author of pain? Is my pain because of my sin? Is my pain because of my sin? We ask these questions because all human beings has a set of intrinsic moral codes. Is it universal? I just named some, not all of them. But I think these are the basic ones that we always come to think about and to have conflict within. This applies to all races, to all cultures, and to all times of human history. By the way, if you are not a Christian, this is one of the strong points to argue with you that there's a God, because everybody has a moral code, right and wrong. Where did you get that? If there is no good, how do you know what is evil? And if you look at this quote, this code, you will understand why we have so much struggles in our hearts. Things don't make sense when bad things happen to you and to your loved ones. Because good things should only happen to good people, and bad things should only happen to bad people. So when bad things happen to good people, there's something wrong. If there's a God who is love and good, He cannot allow bad things happen to good people. And this is our moral code. Everyone has it. Now comes to our chapter 23. Let's turn to the book of Job, chapter 23. I believe the whole conversations between his friends and Job is deeply rooted in this code, the moral code that they have. If you look at chapter 22, as I mentioned before, if you look at chapter 22, one of his friends was talking. And you can see how these moral codes are working. Chapter 22, verse 21 to 30. Submit to God and you will have peace. Then things will go well for you. Listen to his instructions and store them in your hearts. If you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. So clean up your life. If you give up your lust for money and throw your precious gold into the river, and the Almighty himself will be your treasure. He will be your precious silver. You look at the conversation. If you read it, continue to read it, you will see this is how people think. Especially those people, they think there's God, first of all, and they think if you do well, God is going to bless you. So when Job is suffering, there must be something wrong with his life. Bad things only happen to bad people. So now bad things is happening to Job. That means either Job is a bad person, or Job's argument, God make a mistake. He's operating in the code number 3. So he blamed God for all these things happening. So in chapter 23, then Job spoke again. My complaint today is still a bitter one, and I try hard not to groan aloud. You've only knew where to find God. He wants to find God and argue with him. Because to him, the whole thing doesn't make sense. He believes he's a good person, and he feared God, and he worshiped God, and all these things he has done. And why did all these bad things happen to him? If you look at the book, if you look at the special chapter 1, you will see human disaster as well as natural disaster all came to him in very, very short time. And everything he had was lost, except the wife. Maybe he wished the wife is gone. Because the wife was trying to tell him to do something that he think was not right. You look at these two chapters, just a glimpse to look into it, the moral codes that operate our lives. We believe all these things. Even Christians today, you still believe this, and I still believe it. I still operate, you still operate under these moral codes. So when something happened bad to you, so bad that you would automatically think about, is sin? Is my sin cause all this punishment from God? And then your anger comes up. You get upset with God because, God, this shouldn't happen to me. No matter what, how bad I am, but I'm a Christian, you know. I'm saved by the blood of Christ. Why do these things still happen to me? And if you look at Job, this is exactly what happened. He did not believe he deserved this kind of treatment from God. So in verse 10, after he's saying all that, he said, I want to go to the court. You know, I will argue with God and try to present my case. And then at the end, you know what is going to happen? Verse 10. But he knows where I am going, and where he tests me, I will come out as pure as gold. This verse is being well used by a lot of Christians to express that, you know, when we go through trials, very bad things, at the end, we will come out as pure as gold. I mean, God is going to shape us, mold us, so at the end, we will be pure as gold. But I don't believe this is the only way to look at this verse, because if you look at this verse in the context, you will understand that I think there are two ways to look at it. The first one is that believers try, as I said, in difficult times, in unwanted characters are removed. As a result, this believer become as pure as gold. So sometimes we use this verse to encourage our brothers and sisters and saying that, okay, you are going through a tough time, but at the end, maybe God is working in your life, so at the end, you will come out as pure as gold, just like this verse says. The second one is that the believer is tried before God, and he and she believes that, you know, I'm innocent of all charges, and God will find out eventually and declare me as pure as gold. That means what Job is asking is, after the trial, God will find out that I have made no mistakes. I am sinless. I'm a righteous person. The only one made mistake actually is who? God. So to him, he believed that he would come out this as pure as gold, because he had no sin. He was righteous to start with. If verse 10 was placed after verse 17, verse 10, think about it. If you put verse 10 after verse 17, I think the first use, like you go through the trial, you know, God remove the unwanted characters of your appearance goal, I believe that may make sense in after verse 17. That might be the meaning of Job. But verse 10 is located in after verse 9, before verse 17, or the before 11. I believe Job was thinking he was receiving something undeserved. He was the right person. He was upright before God. God will find out that he was innocent, and God made a mistake. A lot of us think that way too. A lot of us think that God put us through all these trials and sufferings. God making mistakes. Did he really make mistakes? Does God really put good people through sufferings, brothers and sisters? Did God really put good people through sufferings? Point number three. God behind human suffering. Although Job believed that he was innocent and should not suffer. Very interesting. If you look verse 13 to 14, he said that God has his way and no one can stop or run away from his plan. The sovereignty of God. Even though he operates in these moral codes, he believed God works within these moral codes, but at the same time, he said that in verse 13 and 14, God always has his own way, and he's sovereign. He can do whatever he wants, and he's trembled. He's fearful. That was his reaction. Do you have this kind of fear, brothers and sisters, deep down in your hearts? Someday something is going to happen to you. Bad things, I mean. Fear of unknown. Because we know that God eventually, ultimately, he is the one who is in control, and we are not. And that fear of unknown sometimes occupies our hearts, and that is normal reaction. We are fear to unknown. And this is how Job reacts. Even though he operates in these moral codes, but he believes God somehow can break it if he wants to, and cause a lot of sufferings to people. And his reaction is fear and troubled by all this happening. Brothers and sisters, we feel, we think the same thing. Why does God allow people to suffer? Why does God walk away from these moral codes, so-called, and do something bad to good people, you might ask? Can he find a justifiable explanation for doing that? You know, I'm thinking about this message. One of the reasons is because I've been reading Jesus Among Other Gods by Zacharias. It was a good book. And I think the climax of this moral dilemma is found on the cross of Jesus Christ. How can a God who is love and good justify suffering to good people? I think the climax is found on the cross. Zechariah suggests two things about this cross, the cross of Jesus Christ. He said the cross is a mirror as well as a window. The cross as a mirror manifests the most intense moral dilemma before our eyes. How can a God of love and good come up with this picture that he put the only sinless and true innocent person on the cross? The cross serves as a mirror. He reflects the horrifying wickedness of those who determined to kill Jesus. You and me, humanities, the horrifying wickedness of humanities is reflected on the cross. We are so evil to the point that we put an innocent person on the cross. First degree murder, premeditated murder of an innocent person. The horrifying wickedness is reflected on the cross. And they are not hesitating to kill Jesus. The cross reflects how horrible we are. The evil within our hearts and our soul. For most of us, killing innocent and seeing innocent people suffer stir our hearts the most. That's why we don't watch those commercials, 30-minute commercials about suffering of children on TV. Because we have a system to protect ourselves, protect our hearts. But when we look at those pictures, when we see innocent children suffer and die because of starvation, this picture appeals to our inner being, stir up our emotions, and we would love to respond. That's why they put up this commercial, 30-minute commercial, to show you, to appeal to your heart. And hopefully you respond in the midst of all these disastrous tragedies. Our heart wants to respond. You know why? Because deep down, we are made in the image of God. There's still love, compassion, sympathy in our hearts. That's why the cross serves as a window. It might be a translucent window. It's not really clear, but you can see through. What do you see? Besides a mirror reflecting how horrible we are. At the same time, the window, translucent window, see us, Jesus, dying on the cross because he wants to show us the love of God. He has a greater plan for humanity, putting his son on the cross, putting an innocent person on the cross, putting an innocent person through suffering because he has a greater plan for you and for me. So through this window, the cross, we have a glimpse of God's love, his holiness, his righteousness, and he is doing all he could to restore our hearts, our soul, and our spirits back to him. Our hearts are so wicked, and the cross reflects. But at the same time, the cross shows us how much God has loved us. And he wants to reach out to our wicked hearts and soul and restore it back to health. And restore this relationship with him. So you and I cannot say that when we are in suffering, God doesn't understand. And God is not there. And you cannot say that. And I cannot say that. That's why the book of Hebrews said that he is the high priest. He understands all we have gone through. In conclusion, I'm not going to remove the pain that you carry. Because as I said, pain and suffering is a mystery. There's no straightforward one answer all questions. But my sermon today is just want to see, to let you see the reality behind all these things happening. The pain that we carry a lot of time is because of these intrinsic moral codes that are conflicting what is happening in our lives. And I hope that you will see that Job and his friends, the struggles they have is because they do not fully understand what God is doing. There's a bigger plan at work. I do not dare to say that I understand what is happening in your lives and what is God's plan for you when you're going through suffering. But I hope this message today will help you to see, to help me to see, God is always with us when we go through all these sufferings. Even though it seems to me, seems to you, he is always silent. Just like when Jesus was on the cross, God was silent. Because something has to be done. So I hope today we will learn not to blame God so much. A lot of time, God is always the first one to be blamed and the last one to be thankful. I hope these moral codes, we have to include one more. That is, God is sovereign. He has a greater plan. Just like a general in a war, he has to send soldiers to the front, knowing some of them will be dead within a day. But when he looked at the bigger plan of winning the war, it has to be done. Let's pray. Father, we want to give you thanks for the book of Job. It's so real in the sense that it tells us suffering is real, evil is real, pain is real. But at the same time, the struggle within our hearts is not found with solid foundation because we have some wrong assumptions. Lord, we thank God that Job at the end in his conversation, no matter how he thought that he was innocent, at the end, he will as pure as gold and God will be found guilty. But he knows that you are a sovereign God and no one can tell you or stop you the plan that you have for humanity. Lord, we thank you for Jesus died on the cross. The picture of him dying on the cross, Lord, we thank you to show us the wickedness of, the horrified wickedness of humanity. At the same time, the solution of this wickedness is also manifested on the cross. Lord, we thank you and pray that as we live our lives every day, we know that, God, if we know you better, we accept your sovereignty. I think we might not need to respond like Job, a lot of fear and trembles in his heart. Lord, we thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.